We welcome everyone, each and every one this morning as we gather into worship together, enjoying the faith that we hold so dear and precious to our lives. If you are a newcomer among us, there are welcome cards in the pew in front of you. Please fill those out and put them in the offering basket, and those will go in to our pastors then. I invite you to move around a bit, greet others, welcome them, give them a blessing of God, and then if you have an announcement, please come forward and we will share them with each other.
I just want to say a heartfelt thanks to everybody that supported Penny Power. The last day, there was $162 in coins. Plus, I accumulated a couple foreign coins. So if there's anybody planning to go to Vietnam, I have a Vietnamese. I have one, I think, for either Australia or New Zealand. And I had a peso too. Anybody going to Mexico, maybe see me. Because the bank won't take them. You just as well take them and enjoy them. But anyhow, just think, next year we're going to do the same thing, and we'd like to do more than we did this year, because our goal is always to do more for Penny Power. And I want to especially thank the three people that said they would match it if we hit $1,000. So that made us go from $1,200, I think it was, to $4,200. So we could put a lot of wells and waterworks in to help a lot of people. So just think about that as you turn your faucet on in the morning when you get up and you've got water. I helped somebody else have water too. So I don't know what our project's going to be next year, but start saving your pennies.
Next Sunday, October 26th, MYF is having a fundraiser meal, and we're going to be having a baked potato bar, so make sure to stay after church next week.
Good morning. So last week, Serenity shared about Juana Cortez, our friend from the pantry, who also shared in the Immigration Sunday school class. She is making wreaths again this year, and I just wanted to remind you guys about that. We have pre-order forms on the back table in the back of the church, and a percentage of the profits that she makes, she's going to donate to the Jubilee Food Pantry to help out others. If you want to know more about Juana and why it's such an important cause for us, you can talk to Serenity and I, and you could also talk to people in the immigration class as well, because many of them got to know her and heard her story. She's an amazing lady, and so we're just lifting her up and helping her access people who can buy wreaths, because she's a lady that doesn't have internet access, doesn't have a computer, and has really no options as far as getting information out to people to purchase wreaths. And so, and we do. So we're helping her in that way. So please take a look at the pre-order form. All the information is on there. There's a website. We made a video of Juana making wreaths. We have pictures of all the wreath options. All the information is on the pre-order form in the back, but you can also come and speak with Serenity or I. Thank you. Serenity's holding babies in the back and directing me to tell you to turn them into her instead of to mail them in. She saw me from the nursery and she did this.
Just want to invite you all to the Drift Creek Annual Meeting and Family Camp. It's in 3 weeks, November 7th through 9th. You can come for just a day or the whole weekend. You can register online, or I have a few registration forms here if you want to see me. They're also looking for donations for the benefit auction on Saturday. Food items seem to go really well. And the Sunday morning presentation will be Birds in the Bible with Jim Anderson of Corvallis Midnight Fellowship.
This morning has a theme and a focus that is one that we know deep within us and yet don't know really how to describe and define it. One of the early scriptures I learned as a preschooler, just three words, God is love. Our call to worship are some very familiar words that I ask you to read with me. We'll read them all together. If Lois would come, we want to sing It is a song that closes this call to worship as well. So as we read together, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them.
Where charity and love are found, there is God. 452. For those of us who don't speak Latin every day, I'll say the words and you can repeat after me. Ubi caritas.
Ubi caritas.
Et amor.
Et amor.
Ubi caritas. Deus ibi est.
Deus ibi est.
Good. We'll sing this in unison one time, twice actually. For those of you who don't read music, you're in luck. For those of you who read music, the melody's in the tenor line. So if that confuses you, hopefully it won't. So we'll sing in unison twice and then please break into harmony.
Ubi caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deus ibi est.
One more time.
Ubi caritas et amor.
Good.
in our praises and worship.
Page 91, please stand. Love of God's ocean, etc.
There's another side to our story, and that's we also have part of us that hurts, and we know people that are hurting. But I chose this piece because of the last stanza. Earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. And I'm thinking about heaven, not only hereafter, but the heaven that we have right now when we allow ourselves to be loved and can love one another.
Would our ushers please come forward? I want to share these words of John Calvin with us. No one gives oneself freely and willing to God's service unless, having tasted the Father's love, that one is drawn in love and worship to God in return. And so we give these offerings because you, our God, have loved us so lavishly. Amen.
Page 304. We'll sing the chorus twice and the last verse once. So go right to the last verse.
There are many gifts of the Spirit.
Not all our calls to be prophets, and not all our calls.
We invite the children to come forward now. This morning, Jana has the children's time as well, not just the message for us as grown-ups. So I invite you to come. And honestly, it feels a little strange to not have the penny power bucket.
Guess what I'm holding in my hand?
You're on, Jana.
Am I on now? Okay. Anybody, I want you to come up and feel this and tell me if you can guess what it is. What do you think this is? Come up and put your hands on it.
Yeah,
yeah. Tell me.
I think it's a mirror. What do you need to put a sheet on it for?
I wanted you to guess what it was. I wanted you to guess what it is. So tell me, what do you see?
A mirror.
A mirror.
A mirror? What do you see in the mirror?
I see myself.
You see yourself. Okay. I want you to tell me something about yourself when you look in the mirror. Lily? What do you see Lily doing? Lily smiling. Okay, Lily smiling. Somebody else. Aiden, what do you see? You see Aiden, and what is Aiden doing? Aiden's looking in the mirror, okay? Somebody else? Paul, what do you see in the mirror?
A guy,
a guy smiling. Okay. Paul is smiling.
I see myself.
What are you doing?
Myself.
Okay, now I want you to tell me, what do you think God sees when he looks at us? Does God see those same things we see in a mirror? No? God doesn't see us smiling? God doesn't see us laughing or smiling? I think he does. Can you think of some things that you might look in the mirror and might not make God smile? Do we always feel like smiling?
No.
Are we full of smiles the first thing in the morning?
No.
Do we wake up happy? Sometimes. Or do we wake up tired or grumpy? You wake up pretty good. Okay. Do you think God loves us even when we wake up tired or grumpy? God likes it when we're happy. But I think God wants us to be the best we can be, but if there's a day that we don't feel like smiling, he still loves us, doesn't he? Have you heard that message already this morning? That God is love, and God wants us to abide in his love? So remember, no matter what, God always wants us to be the best we can be, and smiling's a pretty good way to be. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for each child here this morning. Thank you for their beauty and their uniqueness. Help them to be the same person that you see as they see in the mirror. Amen. Thank you.
The scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians 13, the classic, we say, on love. I am reading this from the Message that has been written by Eugene Peterson, and he uses some very everyday phrases and words to help us get the message of love. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Puts up with anything and trusts God everywhere. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our completes will be canceled. Our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I let those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it just as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is love. Jenna, would you come? Let us pray. God, who loves us beyond any understanding, you've laid upon Jana the message that you've spoken to her heart. May your spirit free her to speak that for our ears and understanding. In your name, amen. Bless you.
Good morning. If you have a Bible, please take it and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And if you remember the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Please turn there as I refer off and on to that scripture passage, and then we're going to look at some other scriptures in the New Testament. On what occasion do we usually hear this scripture read? A wedding or a marriage. And as I meditated and spent time on this passage, lo and behold, there's a different story behind Paul's writing. The churches were in conflict in Corinth, and Paul was given questions by the churches to answer, and he was writing to them because they were having troubles. They were following different eloquent speakers Paul was one of those because he had founded the church. People were following Paul. People were following Peter, who was in Jerusalem. And another guy named Apollos was also being followed, who was a very charismatic, dynamic speaker. And Paul was trying to rein in this divisive conflict to address the churches. We have to remember that there was no written New Testament at this time, so people only could understand the Old Testament and the teachings of Jesus through preaching and teaching. They didn't have anything to read that was going to help them. Paul was asking for unity. In verses 1 through 3, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries, making everything plain as day, and if I have faith to say to mountains, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. What powerful words. As I looked at this, I thought, what if we as a church body could read this before every meeting that we have? What if we focused and dwelled in the scripture of this 1 Corinthians 13 before we made decisions? I think it would give us a kind of blow our mindset of who we are, whose we are, and why we're here. Love is more important than having supernatural powers, spiritual gifts in the church. Great faith, acts of dedication, acts of sacrifice, miracle-working power produces very little without love. And if we went on to read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, we would see that Paul addresses the gift of tongues that people use to edify themselves. And he's saying, you can't do that for the church. You have to use those gifts to edify the body. There's a lot in 1 Corinthians. I would love to spend a whole month on us focused on 1 Corinthians. People have different gifts, but love is available to everyone. Love is an action word. Spiritual gifts such as teaching, preaching, prophesying are important in the church when they are properly used to help everyone to edify the body. So if we boil down this 1 Corinthians 13 to be about relationships, we've missed out on what God is telling us about himself. God is love. And now I'm going to read, love is what? What would it look like if we read 1 Corinthians with God in the place of love? God is patient and kind. God does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. So God is telling us something beautiful and amazing about himself. Ephesians 5:1 says, it tells us to imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. God isn't telling us about who he is, but about who we are, or rather who we should be. Nothing is more practical to the life of the church than these words. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering truth. Love puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Can you see a new kingdom? Can you see a new way of living in this world? I see a kingdom of peace. That's what it looks like. And by me preaching this, I gotta say, I'm a work in progress too, and I've probably been the most convicted by this passage because I've had to spend time reading it and meditating on it this week. And there's a lot there for me to work on. If you turn on the national news these days, it's easy to become cynical about our world. Amen? If you listen to the news, we see greed and hate, bitterness, envy, self-indulgence. And these tend to be driving the course of world events. In our own century, two world wars and a host of other localized conflicts have set the tone for human life. Much of our recent economic well-being has depended on a thriving military-industrial complex. Rarely has love been the force behind government programs and policies. On occasion, humanitarian concerns are addressed, but they're quickly and easily dropped when they become economically flawed or politically unpopular. In our struggles, we ask ourselves, does love even exist anymore? Where is love to be found? On December 10th, two notable people will be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Many around the world have praised the committee for focusing on children. These two people are awesome. Go and Google them. Go on CNN and listen to the speeches that they give when they find out they've been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm just going to say their first names because I'm not going to attempt the last names. Malala and Kailash of India. Malala of Pakistan and Kailash of India will receive this award for risking their lives to fight for children's rights. The decision made Malala, a 17-year-old student and education activist, the youngest ever Nobel Peace Prize winner. When she was a student, she was shot in the head by a Taliban gunman 2 years ago for insisting that girls as well as boys have the right to an education. Surviving several operations with the help of British medical care, she continued her activism and her studies. She's now living in the U.S. Kailash, who is age 60, has been at the forefront of a global movement to end child slavery and unfair child labor since 1980, when he gave up his career as an electrical engineer. He has led the rescue of tens of thousands of children slaves and developed a successful model for their education and rehabilitation. He also has survived several attempts on his life. Kailash's words are, "Child slavery is a crime against humanity. A lot of work still remains, but I will see the end of child labor in my lifetime. If any child is a child slave in any part of the world, it is a blot on humanity. It is a disgrace." The Nobel Committee's announcement reflected a delicate diplomatic balance, naming one activist from Pakistan and another from India, two countries that are longtime bitter rivals, one a Muslim, one a Hindu, both sexes, an elder statesman of child's rights and a youthful advocate who had herself been a victim. The committee said it was important to reward both an Indian Hindu and a Pakistani Muslim for joining in the common struggle for education against extremism. It is a prerequisite for peaceful global development that the rights of children and young people be respected. In conflict-ridden areas, the violation of children leads to the continuation of violence from generation to generation. The true winners today are the world's children. This was said by the UN Secretary General. The biggest threat to the Taliban girl, to the Taliban, is a girl with a book. The Nobel Committee are conscious of helping in conflict resolution, and the award, especially at a time when India-Pakistan relations are under stress, is a nice gesture. Now, I think that gesture is awesome, and it gives me hope for our world. When men are speaking of approaching ruin and civilization, hasn't these lives and this work been a reflection of God's love? God's love that is firm and strong and permanent, that God's love is a rock on which everything that denies and rejects it shall be broken. And I hope that we can pray, continue to pray for Malala and Kailash as they continue their work in the world. Some things are broken for the sake of salvation and abiding beauty. Sometimes things have to be broken in love so that the beauty of holiness may be realized. A star was broken to make the planets. A rainbow in all its beauty is broken light. A bud is broken before the flower appears. And the body and heart of Christ were broken on a cross that men might be saved. Who and what can ultimately resist this kind of sacrificial love? Because it doesn't matter to what depths man can fall on the very mess of human sin, God's love lays the foundation for boundless hope. God's love revealed in Christ. What I love to see is in the last hours that Christ was with his disciples, he loved them to the end. He did not give up on them. He did not abandon them. And these were the people closest to him. We know that they failed him, grieved him, disappointed him, denied him, and another betrayed him. But nothing could reduce his love for them. Even at the supper table, he made a gesture of love to Judas Iscariot when he offered him a piece of bread soaked in wine. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he greeted Judas with the word friend. Do what you came for. Love never dies. Inspired speech will someday be over. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. But we know only a portion of the truth. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. So again, I want to say that I hope that this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, can rise up within us, within this community of faith. As we work together, as we make decisions, as we struggle to know that truth, that's not always going to be complete here. When I asked the youth when's the last time they've heard this scripture read, they said, we used to have this scripture passage read every Sunday. And I forgot, but we did for a while kind of dwell in the scripture, and we chose certain verses that we would read every week for months, and they remember that. His love never ends. I want to send you with this prayer from Ephesians 3:14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
Our response song is going to be about the encompassing quality of love. And the words go like this: love before us, love behind us, love under our feet, love within us, love over us, let all around us be love. I'd like to dedicate this song to my mom, because when I think of encompassing love, there's nothing more encompassing that I know on earth than mother love. But I can't think about that too much because I'll cry, so I'm going to think about guardian angels being above and behind and below. And then I'm going to also include in that, I don't know really if they exist, but I do know Christ exists. So to think of the protective, the encompassing, the complete love of Christ all around us, it's profound. I'll sing this song, and those of you who know it, please sing along with me. Those of you who don't know it, you can listen the first time and then join in the second time. Time, close your eyes and listen. Sing.
It's our sharing time. If you have a prayer request or a praise item you want to share with your sisters and brothers, I invite you to do so. In light of what we heard this morning about God's love for us and His call for us to love one another, love like Jesus, maybe you have a recent experience of God's love that you'd like to share, or maybe a place where you would like to see God's love expressed. Who wants to share?
I just want to give my thanks for a safe trip. This is Matthew Suara. I want to give thanks to Jana for a wonderful message, and also give thanks to God for a safe trip. I think, holy smokes, I think we were on the road for about 12 days, my mother and I. This is a chance also to introduce my mom, Shirley Lecky Reed, from Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah, we came all the way from there by way of seeing family in Georgia and North Carolina and Ohio, Wisconsin, Minneapolis. And so we're thankful for the safety that we got here. And my mom will be staying with us for a while here. So hope you all get a chance to meet my mother, Shirley.
Welcome home.
Wednesday, I went to the Red Cross apheresis donors appreciation banquet, and there were 400 people with tears rolling down their face at the stories of people that they saved, you know, donating platelets. If anyone in New York can consider donating platelets, they have a shortage of people that are doing it. I'm doing it almost every week, and my poor old veins are giving out on me. So. If you think about it, you know, it's really a life-saving thing. They're talking about how when they give a person platelets, a child with cancer or burn victims, they can see the life coming back into their face. It's really important, and there's a shortage of it. They need platelets, so think about it.
As a way to show love.
I think she just wanted to say again that she has a brother, a little baby. Okay, we started. So.
This is Lauren. We made that announcement last week, but Bryn wasn't able to carry through and say about her brother. I wanted to say I felt God's love this week too. Matthew, you were on the road. Steve went with me to Nebraska and back. So we didn't do too many miles less than you, and we did one of them overnight, all through the night. I really felt God's protection looking down the highway and looking for animals that might cross, and it was safety all the way. So that's just praise God.
This is Kelsey, and this morning Kiara Skyped home talking to Mom and Dad, and she made it to the end of the trail, the Camino de Santiago, so that's good. Also, her blisters are healed, which is all very good. A bummer is that she lost her camera in the ocean, so all of her pictures that she's taken the whole time she's been gone are gone. We also don't know when she'll be home exactly. We thought she'd be home before Christmas, but now it might not be until January, February, March. We don't know.
Thank you for that update. You know, an axe head floated. Should we pray and see if that? No. Who'd like us? Who else would like to share?
The love sermon is pretty important to me. My mother said that for over 30 years she prayed for my father every single day. He was not a Christian, and she was. And 6 years before his death, he accepted Christ, and my mother's prayers of over 30 years was answered. And to me, that's love.
Thanks, Earl. That's a great testimony of God's love.
This past week, Twyla passed away, and she was waiting a long time. And I just saw Cindy's love to her mother. The whole family loved their mother, but Cindy spent many, many hours and days with her mom, and that was a true sign of love and patience with her.
Thank you, Karen. Let's pray together. God, you are a God of love, and we give you praise, we give you thanks for that reminder that we've heard this morning. It's not just a rational thing that we know that you are love, but we experience it. And testimonies have been shared here this morning that confirm that. Thank you for your traveling mercies with those who have been traveling. Thank you for being with those who are experiencing loss. We particularly pray for Twyla's family. We pray that you'll bless them with comfort and with your peace, with your love. Help us to find ways to give expression to that family. Thank you for the word of your presence with Hannah, and we pray that you'll continue to watch over her as she travels. We pray that your love will be expressed in her life and through her life to others. And as we think about the giving of blood, in some ways that's a simple thing that we can do, but it's a way to show our love and to give health and hope to those who are hurting and suffering. We are also very much aware today that there's great threat in our country and around the world in this Ebola outbreak. And Lord, we pray that that threat, a disease, might be conquered. We pray for your peace and your love with those who are suffering. We pray that those who are anxious and uncertain will find in you your love and your grace. Again, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be people of love, to walk with Jesus, to express your love through the way we work, we talk, the way we live. In the name of the love of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Turn to page 109 in the Green Book. 109, and please stand. We're only going to sing this song once. So think about somebody you love and give it all you have the first time. And it's also a chance to be greedy. There's more love, God. We want even more.
There is more love.
Our benediction this morning is printed for you to remember. Go forth in the love of God and the joy of His Holy Spirit. And as you leave, extend that love and God bless you to another. Go in peace.